The next matter is 15-32 in re adoption of Madison S. The next matter before the court is in re adoption of Madison S. 15-32. Counsel, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Todd Jeffers, and I represent the appellant, Jeremy S., the father of Madison S. This matter is in the matter of the adoption of Madison S., in which Jeremy, the appellant, is the father. The father, Jeremy, and wife, Nicole, were married in 2000, to which three kids were born of that marriage in 2001, 2004, and 2005. In 2007, Jeremy was convicted of molesting Madison. He was convicted of fondling her three times in the course of 2 months, and a divorce then was issued in 2007 as well. In 2013, wife remarried, and in 2014, this petition for adoption for the stepfather of the kid, for the adoption of the three kids by the stepfather.
Counsel, and he went to prison as a result
Yes.
of the sexual assault?
Yes, Your Honor.
And that was in the state of Missouri, as I recall?
Yes, Your Honor.
And then the mother moved to Lincoln?
Correct, yes. They were married and they lived in Nebraska. They moved to Missouri. They were going through some tough marital times, and for some unknown reason, honestly, still to this day, I don't really understand quite why the molestation happened, the fondling of the oldest kid, and the wife immediately divorced and moved to Nebraska. So wife asked for the permission from father for the stepfather to adopt. Jeremy has no intention of ever releasing and relinquishing his rights to be a father. He refused to relinquish them, and this petition was filed, and the court found that the lower court in their decision found that there was an abandonment by the father of the children, and therefore no consent would be required, and when the adoption is entered, his parental constitutional rights will be terminated. And that is where the error in this case is. It is where it remains. That is the issue in the case is whether Jeremy abandoned the children or not. And the decision was actually a pretty good decision. He used all the right case law. The facts were pretty much all right. He just applied the facts to the case law improperly. In a sense, abandonment is pretty self-explanatory. It's the intent to abandon your rights as a parent, to no longer be a parent, basically pack up, leave for whatever reason. You say, I don't like this family, I want a new family, I'm never going to take care of my kids again. You move off, you either drug dependent, alcohol dependent, or you're just a deadbeat parent. In this case, Jeremy is doing everything he can to repent, to make up for his errors and his ways. He has attempted in the beginning, it actually went quite well. Mother was allowing phone calls, gifts. She even tried to arrange for a visit to the prison, but the warden denied it. So once she got remarried, she decided that she no longer wanted him to. So she's been thwarting his actions. She gave the paternal family, which is the grandmother, mother, nieces, nephews, all on the paternal side. She stopped contact with them and no longer allowed. And that's really where his contact was. He was getting in to contact the children was when the children would go regularly to visit the paternal grandparents and great-grandparents.
It's my understanding that as a result of the divorce decree, he had no parenting time, correct?
He had no parenting time, but his rights were not terminated.
Okay.
And like I said, the mother was allowing it, even though he had no parenting time. In the beginning, she was allowing it. The time that we look at to determine whether or not there was an abandonment is the 6 months immediately preceding the filing of the petition. And the 6 months preceding that, there were gifts, cards, and that is often a big area of contention in these cases, is whether or not the parent, whichever one, tried to phone call, send cards, send gifts. And really, it isn't a question of did the parent try to send a card? Oh, that makes them want to be a parent. It's more the intent. We're looking at the intent. Did the parent intend to intentionally withhold their presence, care, love, protection, maintenance, and opportunity of display of parental affection? Did they voluntarily and intentionally relinquish their parental rights? And parents who send gift cards or cards, gifts, phone calls, the intent implied there is that they're still intending to be a parent. And that is what Jeremy has always done. And even if he had not, the action by the mother of alienating the father, also, the court may give weight to that in looking at how much the father is involved in the kid's lives. So also, we look, these things don't happen in a vacuum. And as the decision in the lower court found, these things don't happen in a vacuum. So he did look to the molestation, to the imprisonment. He looked to that to see the intent of whether or not he intended to abandon. And he found that just the mere act of the molestation of the oldest child, the girl, he never once touched the boys, and they are quite honestly too young at the time to even probably understand. Lost my place. So the court looked to see whether or not the father had intended to abandon the children. And he found that the molestation was just in and of itself, by molesting Madison, that was an intent to relinquish his rights. And that is not in the statutory law. That is not in the case law. That is not, it's not even common sense. It's not really common sense that he would, that act in and of itself is an abandonment.
That act in and of itself could be used to terminate his parental rights in juvenile code.
Yes. If it was brought by a county attorney under the juvenile code, brought properly, then yes. But in a,
it doesn't necessarily have to be brought by the county attorney, does it? It could be brought by the individuals. If they wanted to, they could go through the district court to terminate. They could. There's lots of options that they would have that would raise these other issues besides abandonment.
Sure, and this, but the county court was not a juvenile court, so it is my opinion that they improperly brought the case in the civil court under the civil code. And the distinctions here, for most of these cases where abandonment is found, this case can be distinguished quite easily. Most of them involve cases where the children are in the juvenile code, where there is a foster family, where the foster family is looking for permanency, where they want to adopt the children, and the parent is in prison for life with no chance of parole. And in those situations, the court usually does grant it. But in this case, Jeremy does want to be a parent. He does want to act as a parent. He intends to. And that, I think, in fact, is the worry here on the mother's side. The worry is he wants to be a parent. He wants to get out. He wants to be part of their lives. And she's trying to thwart that. I will reserve the rest for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you very much. Counsel, whenever you're ready. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, Mr. Jeffers, Concordia University. My name is Angela France. I represent the petitioners, appellees, Nicole and William Kiffin. Your Honors, given the sensitive nature of this case, rather than go into detail and perhaps embarrass these children, I would just draw your attentions to the transcripts, page 31 and 32, where it lays out in detail the egregious and morally repugnant actions of Mr. Steens. If you wish me to go into that, I will, but I would prefer not to to save embarrassment to the children.
We're aware of those pages.
This isn't an adoption petition. We moved to terminate Mr. Steen's rights. As Mr. Jeffers stated, this was determined on a theory of abandonment. The trial court determined that there was an intentional withholding by Mr. Steens without just cause or excuse of his love, presence, care, protection, and filial affection.
Can we go back 6 months? prior 6 months that we would look at?
Well, as the case law says, it is not in a vacuum. You can go back further than 6 months and look at Mr. Seen's actions as a whole. Even if you were to look back 6 months, contrary to Mr. Jeffers' argument, there is no conclusive evidence in the record of any contact by Mr. Steens. The last contact that is in the record occurred in the winter of 2013 against the wishes of Nicole Kiffin when the children were visiting the grandparents in Missouri. Ms. Kiffin felt that although Mr. Steens was not in their life, that that was not grounds to terminate the children's relationship with their grandparents. So with the understanding that the children would be visiting the grandparents and associated relatives, she allowed that contact to continue, gladly drove the kids to Missouri and left them there. With the understanding, and as the testimony will state, Ms. Kiffin told her on multiple occasions that there was to be no contact with Mr. Steens while the children were there. At the last visit in the winter of 2013, she finds out that the grandparents are continuing to allow contact with Jeremy either through phone calls or forcing the children to write letters and send cards to the jail. And so she expressed again that there was to be no contact. As the testimony bears out, after that point, there is no conclusive evidence that there was any contact with Mr. Steens.
But doesn't that show an intent on his part to try and maintain a relationship with his children when he's sending cards and letters to them? And, you know, I don't know what conversations transpired between him and his parents as far as being, you know, asking them to make those calls to the jail while the children are visiting. But doesn't that show some type of intent on his part to want to still be involved in their lives?
Actually, the transcript reflects, especially with talking to his grandmother on the stand, she specifically stated that there was no plan to coordinate calls between Jeremy and the children when they were there. So it's actually in debate whether or not there was a planned intent by Jeremy to call when the children were present, or if it was a mere fluke that the children were present when he made the phone call to his grandparents' house. Additionally, as Your Honor pointed out, in the 2007 divorce, Mr. Steens was not granted any parenting time. His testimony indicates he was aware that he had no parenting time, and he has taken no legal actions to modify that in any way.
But isn't he currently in jail?
He is currently incarcerated.
And isn't he in Missouri?
He is in Missouri, but that does not preclude his ability to file legal action to modify.
But isn't the argument on the other side that he's liable to be paroled in the next so many years? And once he is out, then if he wants to spend the money to go through a modification, that would be the time to do it. I mean, isn't what they argue? I mean,
actually, no, that wasn't what he argued at the trial level, Your Honor.
I think that's what's in the briefs. So.
And on that point, at the trial, there was no conclusive testimony as to when Mr. Steens would be released. Mr. Steens is guessing that he will get out in 2019, but he is serving a 16-year sentence.
Based upon the order that was entered by the district court in Missouri, what contact or what responsibilities to the children did their father have?
Based on the Missouri criminal conviction?
No, the dissolution.
The dissolution occurred in the state of Nebraska.
To
answer Judge Irwin's earlier question, they were in the middle of a relocation when the incidents occurred by Mr. Steen. So only part of the family was in Missouri. Ms. Kiffin was still in Nebraska and was finishing the steps necessary here. So they were in the middle of a relocation when this all occurred, which is why Mr. Steens was convicted in Missouri, but the divorce occurred in the state of Nebraska. Under the Nebraska divorce decree, Mr. Steens was served, properly served, and the divorce decree, I believe it is out of Adams County, stated that there was no parenting time. The only obligation that was put forth was child support. And as to the issue of child support, there is testimony in the record that Mr. Steens is not the one making the child support payments, that the child support payment is actually being made by his grandmother, who has no obligation to make that payment and could at any time for any reason sees that. So the record reflects that Mr. Steens himself is not taking an active effort to provide for the children. That is, it is actually his grandmother who is doing it for whatever reason.
The requirement for us under our standard of review to determine whether or not an abandonment has taken place?
Yes, Your Honor.
What do you feel is the requirement for that?
The standard of review for the trial court's decision is whether there's sufficient evidence in the record to support their determination and that it wasn't arbitrary, capricious, or unreasonable. I think after you review the testimony and all the exhibits offered, it will support a finding that Mr. Steens did intentionally abandon, without just cause, his children. His direct actions, his depraved choices, put him in jail. It's not like a father that has a drug habit and can be rehabilitated in jail, and it wasn't a direct result of an action by a father to a child. This man is in jail because of his direct action to his children. You know, daddy is supposed to be the one that protects their children. Daddy isn't supposed to be the monster.
But his determination wasn't based upon his egregious conduct. It was based upon a finding that he had abandoned, and
correct.
That's different.
You're correct, but I think if you look at all of his actions as a whole, starting in 2007 and then moving forward while he's been incarcerated, I think there's sufficient evidence to show that he has intentionally withdrawn himself. There is no evidence of letters. Mr. Jeffers says that there's evidence that he sent cards and that he sent letters. There are no exhibits of that. There is convoluted testimony which doesn't exactly match up. His grandmother says one thing, he says another thing on the record. So we don't know exactly what contact truly occurred between Mr. Steens and the children, other than Ms. Kiffin confirming a phone call occurring in winter of 2013 while the children were at Grandma's house.
Can you tell me why the decision was made to go through the county court as a probate court to find abandonment rather than going through the juvenile court or the district court to show that it was in the best interest of the children that there be a termination of his rights?
That is an excellent question, Your Honor. We did debate that for some time, and we felt that the evidence was sufficient to support an abandonment. First and foremost, we hoped that Mr. Steens would have relinquished. In fact, he testified at trial that he did agree that benefit-wise, it was in the best interest of the children to be adopted by Mr. Kiffin. There is the ability to file a district court action that then is sent downstairs to county court and goes under the juvenile code, allowing us to use 292. There is also in the adoption code through county court, if Ms. Kiffin hadn't have done everything right, she fell in love, got married, and then had kids. If she'd had those children out in wedlock, our own adoption code allows you to terminate rights based on fitness of the parents.
But she did.
She did. She did everything right, and now she's being penalized by 43-104. But I think, again, I think all the evidence supports that Mr. Steens has abandoned the children. I think the trial court was right. And I would ask that you affirm the trial court and give these children some closure and stability in their lives. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. How much time does the appellant have left? Counsel.
To go back to your question, Your Honors, about what is the standard for abandonment, as I mentioned, it is we look to the 6 months immediately preceding the time of the petition. The reason why we do that is because a parent may go overseas for 2 years and have zero contact or have a drug habit and pull their life back together and reenter the children's lives. So we don't look all the way back. We just look to those 6 months. The reason why things don't happen in a vacuum is because we look to see, well, okay, there's no contact in the last 6 months. Were they in Florida taking care of a dying family member, or were they in Florida doing drugs? I mean, that is the vacuum. You don't just get to look back at the entire course. It is specifically set out only those 6 months. And it's interesting, I actually wrote down the word monster, that the argument's going to be that dad is a monster. Well, There are three sets of grandparents in this situation. There are three sets of families. There is an entire family that was, the paternal family was there at every birth at the hospital. And they love their children. And she said, I'm sorry, Appley's lawyer referenced she doesn't know why grandma is paying the child support. Well, it should be pretty obvious why she's paying the child support, because she loves her grandkids and she's helping support with the family network. And I think a bigger family network would be better than a smaller one. And also you will find in the testimony that the only reason that they could think of to grant this adoption was so they would get better benefits and change their last name. And that is not abandonment. That is not a grounds in a civil adoption to grant. And in conclusion, I would ask that the appellates respectfully request this court reverse the decision of the trial court and find that there was no abandonment.
Do you think that if we would do that, all you're doing is delaying the inevitable, because I presume that they would then file in the district court, as counsel indicated, to terminate on best interest?
I don't know the answer to that. I would hope not. I think it would at least give the paternal family more time to be part of the family, because they have been since birth, and they intend to. They'll fight that too, but I guess we'll see.
Thank you very much. Matter is deemed submitted. Thank you very much for coming out to Seward for argument today. You're excused. Before you leave, just so you know, we are going to have a question and answer period. If you want to stay for that, you're welcome to. If you want to leave, you're welcome.